Thank you, ladies. Well, we're going to 1 Peter in God's Word this morning, and the Bible there, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read first 11 verses. Verse 7 is our text. Divine Principles for a Successful Marriage is the title. And even if you're not married today, there are several things that will be applicable to all of us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 7 ends with the words, that your prayers be not hindered. The first thing I noticed this morning, and this is not my first point, this is the introduction. The first thing I notice is the importance of the subject we're dealing with, because if we don't get this right, the Bible says our prayers are hindered. And the word hindered here is a military term. It was used to describe one of two things. If you were trying to keep an army from invading, you might go out and dig this huge trench. And that huge trench is the word that's translated hindered here. It was also used to describe trying to break down the lines of the communication. So that if we went out here and we knocked down the cell phone towers and some satellites out of the space and cut your phone lines, you might get some idea of what it means to be hindered in communicating. God says if we don't get this right, your prayers will be hindered. That our fellowship between God and ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ would be cut. The lines of communication broken down. And I don't know about you, but right now in my life, I don't need my prayers hindered. Personally, I don't need that to happen because I need God's wisdom in decisions that are being made. I need God's grace to get through some things. I need God's power to overcome temptation. I need God's help to preach this morning. I don't need my prayers hindered. I don't need my prayers hindered concerning my family. I pray daily for not only my wife, but also for Heidi and Joshua and Amber, that they would serve God, that they'd love the Lord. I don't need my prayers hindered. I need wisdom to be a parent. I don't need my prayers hindered, and I don't think you do either concerning our church. We have people in our congregation with a great many needs and concerns and burdens, and we need some answers to prayer. We have a building program coming up. We had an answer to prayer last week in the good offering. And we had some good meetings this past week with some important people concerning our building program. But we need God in this. We don't need our prayers hindered. We need some souls to be saved, some Christians to mature. We have some events coming up here at Thanksgiving time and Christmas time, and we're going to need God in these things, and we don't need our prayers hindered. Do you? I don't need my prayers hindered concerning our country. We have some serious problems in our nation. We have a divided country. We have a divided Congress, a divided electorate. We have some very angry people out there concerning our nation. We need God in our land. We don't have time to have our prayers hindered. I can't think of a time in my life when I had time to have my prayers hindered. I don't want my prayers hindered because I don't want to dishonor my Lord who gave himself for me at the cross. I want to be in fellowship with him, don't you? We don't need our prayers hindered. So whatever the subject is we're talking about this morning, the Bible says get it right, because if you don't get it right, your prayers go no higher than your mouth. They don't even get as high as the ceiling. Your prayers are cut off. Now we have a great example in what we're talking about this morning. I'd like you to notice the first word of verse 7. Sometimes we slow the Bible down. We run it in slow motion. We're going to run this verse in slow motion a little bit. Likewise. Likewise reaches back to what we've just talked about. And what the Apostle Paul has just talked about is a woman who has become a Christian and her husband's not a believer. And he is telling this woman how to live in such a way that she can see her husband won to Christ. First, and we don't have time to go into it this morning, but basically he's telling this woman, do not try and be your husband's pastor. Be his wife. Love him. Don't preach to him. And have this inner spirit of a meek and quiet person. Well, we don't have time to go into that this morning. That's a different subject. But she is in a difficult situation because she's saved, her husband's lost. And so in that very difficult situation, Paul is saying, this is what you do. But when I read that, I go back to this same chapter, verse 1. It begins with the word what? Likewise. Okay? So that takes us back to the previous chapter. And we go clear back to the previous chapter. We get down to verses 18 and 19. He's talking to slaves. And these slaves are in a difficult situation because some of them have good masters and some of them have lousy masters who mistreat them. And Peter is saying, in this very difficult situation, you still live for Christ. And you honor them and you submit to those masters. These are slaves he's writing to. And then he gives us the prime example. Verse 21 of the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also, what's the word? Suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So in a very difficult situation where people are mistreating the Lord and they're causing him to suffer, what was his reaction to that? Well, when he was threatened, he threatened not. When he was reviled, he reviled not. It's going into how to react when you're going through a difficult situation. Jesus Christ went to the cross for doing right in order to get a bride, his church, to purchase a people that would love him. Now, we don't have time because our time is fleeting, but this whole book is about suffering. And sometimes when you do right, you still suffer for it. And in the middle of all of that, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, in this particular case, in verse 7 here, chapter 3, both are saved because he calls them heirs together of the grace of life. But that does not necessarily mean that they have a perfect marriage. Some of you may be saved, but you have a difficult marriage. That is not my case. I have a wonderful marriage. I'm married to a wonderful woman. I want to give you some divine principles this morning, especially to the men, but it applies both ways. God's divine principles for a marriage, a successful marriage. And the first one, verse 7, these are very easy, by the way. Verse 7, likewise ye husbands, here's number one, cohabitation, dwell with them. I mean, this is real easy, folks. Live with her. Be with her physically. Most of us cannot be with our wife 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and she probably wouldn't want that either. But make it a priority to spend time with the person you are married to. Several years ago, a man told me, he said, I see my wife on the average of 5 minutes a day. She works, I work, we kind of pass each other, you know, as we're going out the door. I think 5 minutes a day times seven, that's a whole 35 minutes a week. Wow! You can't build a relationship in 35 minutes a week. Not a marriage relationship. Live with her. Now notice it says, likewise ye what? Husbands, not boyfriends. God says wait until you get married, wait until you say the I do before you live together. Intimacy only for married couples. But when you are with her, be completely with her. Sometimes we guys, we forget to leave work at work, so we're with her physically but not mentally. She picks up on those things because, did you hear me? Were you talking? Wives, find time to be with him. Make it enjoyable. Make home a loving place so he wants to come home. Do things together. My wife and I still date each other. We look forward to those occasions where, on particular evenings, we have a date. We go out and we go to a restaurant and we sit down and we eat together and we converse together and spend time together. Number one, live with her, cohabitate. Number two, likewise, ye wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. Number two, understanding is the word, understanding. Dwell with them according to knowledge, with understanding, with consideration. Okay, guys. God does not call a husband to understand all women. Praise God. But he does call us to learn to understand one woman, and that is the person we are married to. And every woman is an original, just like men are. They are not all alike. Verse 8, this will mean communicating with some courtesy if you're going to understand one another. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, full of pity, be courteous. Some time ago, it wasn't that long ago, within the last couple months, I was with a man, and he was talking to me about how he and his wife didn't get along that great. And about that time, his cell phone rang, and he picks it up, and it's his wife. And she is asking a question. And I'm thinking, well, here's his opportunity. I mean, just... And it was like he was irritated to get the call. He was irritated all the way through the call. He, after it was over, he kind of slammed the cell phone back together. And he said, man, she irritates me. Put it away. Okay. There's part of the problem right there. No courtesy. Understanding one another's needs, seeking to meet those needs, and to help the other person be successful as a husband or wife. Listening to frustrations, discovering what's important to one another, pursuing those goals together. Not only is it understanding her, dwelling with her according to knowledge also means understanding God. The knowledge of God. You see, many families, while they want to have successful marriages, don't know God's principles for a successful marriage. They don't know what the book of Proverbs says, or 1 Corinthians, or Ephesians, or Colossians, or 1 Peter, or many other places in the Bible. God not only tells us how to go to heaven, but he tells us how to have a little bit of heaven here on earth in our families. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God says, don't be unwise, understand what my will is. And less than a half a dozen verses, he says, and ye wives. A couple verses later, and ye husbands. And he tells them, this is how to be in God's will. And if we don't go by God's will, you're unwise. The husband and wife relationship, the principles for those things are found in the Bible. Live together, seek to understand her. What's the next one? Let's look at that, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Let's talk about it. The word honor means honor. Respect. High esteem. You still believe that the person that you're married to is a blessing from God. It's an honor to know them. That was quite a change from the way that women were viewed in the ancient world. You see, before Jesus, in most of the world, women were considered property. You know, you buy and sell them like camels and donkeys. And a girl wants to get married. Well, okay, well, how many camels are you going to give me for? You know, is she a 2-camel girl or a 5-camel girl? And it's still that way in much of the Muslim world. God says, no way. You honor her. And by the way, that honor is to be returned. Ephesians 5:33, we looked at this verse some weeks ago. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence, respect her husband. Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12, speaking of the virtuous woman, listen to this. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. He can trust her because she'll do him good and evil every day of her life. He trusts her because he knows this woman is trying to do me good. And when a husband or wife don't trust each other, it can often be traced back to the fact that there's a lack of honor for one another, a lack of respect. Now, it says here, honor, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So we're going to talk about that. Unless you want to, I'll do it. A vessel is a container. Take, for example, this container. A vessel is made to contain something. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are earthen vessels, people. You're a vessel. And you're made not of metal, but you're made of the elements of the soil. That's why when you put people in the grave, eventually they go back to soil. Just made of the elements of the soil. That's God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. But we are vessels. We are containers. We are made to contain something. And that something is God. And the person who doesn't have God, who is without Christ, is empty. But when we receive Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and our Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes in, we are, the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here we are made of dirt, dust, an earthen vessel, and we have the treasure of God in us. What grace that is. Now, men are vessels and women are vessels. And the Bible says here that the woman is usually the weaker vessel, as a general rule. No matter how much we deny it, have you noticed that men and women are different? Physically, emotionally, chemically. Take our recent ladies' meeting. My wife spent quite some time making the nut cups and putting a little ribbon around each one. The tables were arranged perfectly with little white cups with gold around the rims. There were grapes everywhere. And the ladies each brought a teddy bear. And they let people take pictures of them, holding teddy bears. Okay. This past weekend, I went to a men's retreat. I say a men's retreat. We had no nut cups. There were some nuts there, but there weren't any nut cups. We didn't have any dainty little white cups with gold rims where we sit around drinking our tea. No crafts. We did not bring our teddy bears. We had beef, potatoes, gravy, lots of desserts. Good man preaching. Okay, you with me? The word vessel is the same word that we get our word vase from. Or if you have a little more money in your pocket, your vase. You put water and flowers in a vase. The Bible says that a woman is a weaker vessel. When I think of a man, I think of this. Right? That's a man. You can beat that thing. I found it down in the basement. Okay. This morning, when my wife wasn't looking, I snuck into the kitchen and got one of her teapots. Isn't it cute? And pretty and delicate. And I will not beat it like I just did that pan. I give a little more honor and care to the weaker vessel. That is what that verse means. Somebody has said that a woman is like a a sleek sports car, and a man is a Mack truck. Now here's how it goes. God is saying that if I abuse my wife, I do not treat her with honor. I'm not right with God. It's like digging a trench between me and God. It's like pulling down the wires and the lines and the communication. All comes down. Your prayers are hindered. Same thing in reverse, the other way too. I'm convinced of this, that many families are having a crisis a day or moment, can't understand why God doesn't answer any of their prayers. And a lot of it could be traced back to the disrespect that's in that home for one another. God says, this is what you do, or your prayers will be hindered. There's a fourth thing. In verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Spiritual harmony. Heirs together of the grace of life. Peter, the author of 1 Peter here, is assuming that the people are going to read this are Christians. I'm assuming that this morning, and if you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. Before you leave this place, you need to turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust what He did at the cross to deliver you from hell and judgment and have your sins forgiven. My wife and I are both saved. And this verse applies to us. We are heirs together of the grace of life. There are three words that describe salvation in this verse. Grace. Grace of life. Grace. Grace means we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. For by grace are you saved through faith. My wife is saved by the grace of God. I am saved by the grace of God. And God now turns to us and says, you grow in grace. When you speak with grace. You show grace to other people. You show grace to the person you're married to. Kindness. God has graced us. You grace that other person. Another word, heirs together of the grace of life. Life right now is a gift from God. From Him we have breath and life and all things, the Bible says. He's given us family and friends and 10,000 other blessings we don't have time to mention this morning. He's given us, if you're saved, eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. We still have heaven to look forward to and getting new bodies. Resurrection, reunion, all because of God's grace. And another word that describes saved people is heirs. H-E-I-R-S. An heir is somebody that inherits something because somebody died. I inherited a couple things because my father passed away a couple years ago. More than a couple things, but I like the lawnmower and the snowblower and some of my father's books. Because my dad died, I was the heir. Jesus Christ died for my sins. And by faith in His death and His resurrection, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, as you are if you're saved. We have an inheritance waiting for us, and the Holy Spirit is the down payment on that inheritance. We get the rest of it later. But a saved husband and a saved wife are heirs together. Jesus Christ must think an awful lot of my wife. He died for her. And if she is that important to my Savior, How important should she be to me, my wife? We have the same Savior. We have the same Lord. We have the same Bible. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same destiny. We're in this together. If you are married, you are not to go through life as if you're not. You are heirs together. Serve God together. Because God says, if it's not that way, your prayer life has been shut down. Live together as one. Seek to understand that person you're married to. Give honor to one another. And walk through life together in harmony to the glory of God. Would you stand with me? Let's sing just a song of invitation and dedication as we close today. Can you truthfully sing this song? It's found on page 325, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If you sing those words, you will be saying to God, okay, I agree. This is the way our family is going to be. This is the way I'm going to treat my husband, my wife, because God says so in His Word.